There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
But this, I think last year we decided to do a deep dive, which would more look into specific topics that we talked throughout the 8 weeks. And this deep dive is about investing. So we're just, the purpose of this 4 week program is to really get you comfortable in investing and give you that confidence level that you can do it. And let's give you a little bit of direction. We're not licensed financial advisors. We're not licensed brokers in any way, but it's to give you more of a global macro perspective on investing and kind of let you know the ins and outs. Investing is, to me, a very personal thing, but a very, depending on your risk tolerance, what you want to invest in. So we're not really here to tell you what to invest in, but really to give you an idea of what investing is all about and how you can make your money work for you. John has been working with me, I think, what, are we 2 years in, John? I lose track of time when it comes in terms of COVID.
So I think it's 2 years.
I think it's 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And are you a Columbia grad officially now, or are you still a Columbia student? I can't remember.
Grad officially now. Right. So graduated like about a month ago with my MBA.
So he's an official Columbia MBA grad student. So he's been helping a lot and working with us to build up Financially Clean, and he does an excellent job when it comes to investing. So I'm going to let John lead this class. I'll be there in the background. If there's anything, you know, I feel like it add a little bit of value, I will. If not, I'll stay silent. If you have any questions you want to direct toward John or myself, you're more than welcome to. So at this point, I'll let John take over and welcome you all to our deep dive 4 week session.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank all you guys for taking the time to join us. And thanks, Sean, for like the really great intro. I guess just a little bit of background on myself before we dive in. So I'm originally from the New York City area, from out on Long Island. So I've lived here my whole life. Moved out after undergrad, which I did at Stony Brook, and then have been here ever since. And so, you know, investing for me, like I really started at a young age, because I had some good role models who put me on the path to say, okay, like you should start doing this now. You should get ahead of it because this is going to help you become financially free earlier in life than, you know, you would otherwise. But I think the good thing, what I've learned, you know, doing these sessions as well as like speaking with my classmates in the MBA and you know, just throughout my experiences is that it doesn't matter what age you start, as long as you do start investing at some point in your life, because it really does help you unlock a lot of value and help you begin to create that financial freedom that I know a lot of us are really looking for. So I guess with that, I'll just like dive into some of the goals for the course. So as Sean was saying, this is like really meant to be a deep dive on investing. And so with that, we'll go into what does it specifically mean to invest? When you're thinking about investing versus saving, how should you think about that? What are the benefits to investing? What are the risks to investing? And how should you compare those? Within investing specifically, you know, there are many different types of investments, whether it be stocks, bonds, ETFs, you know. So we'll try to make sense of what those different types of investments are, how risky that each of them are, and how you should try to think about them as you go through your investing journey. And within that, you know, within thinking about risk and how risky each investment is, you know, you have to think about what investments make the most sense for you and your specific objectives. And so that's really what Sean was talking about at the end. Investing is a really personal thing, and it has to align with your own goals and your own wants for your life. So, you know, if you're saving for a short-term goal, you might not want to put your money in something that's a little more volatile. That might, you know, lose a lot of money, gain a lot of money, but you might want to keep it in something that's a little more consistent, steady. So that's one of the things that we'll talk about as we go through. Who are some successful investors that I can emulate? There's a ton out there. There's even a lot of great, just like Instagram influencers, things like that. People that have been very successful in investing who can teach you, you know, the tools that you need to go out, pick, whether it be smart ETFs, smart company investments, things like that, and really start to make a return. What are you entitled to when you make an investment? That's a very interesting, specific topic. It kind of surprised me when I was younger because I was like, oh, like I'm entitled to vote on things that the company does, even though I just own like a share, two shares, whatever. And the fact is that you are. Those shares entitle you to vote and have a small amount of influence on company decisions because you are an owner of the company in the end. How do you analyze the investment, the performance of the investment over time? That really gets back to just, you know, how much return have you made? Have you lost money? Have you gained money? And, you know, how do you want to think about that against other investments that you could have made? And then lastly is just how do you open an investment account so you can get going and start accumulating those investment returns for yourself. That's really the last class and what we'll dive into there. So I guess, you know, before we get started, I just wanted to put it out to the group. Does anyone want to give me their idea of what investing is?
I would say making a commitment to give your money to somebody else that you do not trust. So that's kind of challenging.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
I like that. I've been doing it for a number of years. I've never heard that response before.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Go ahead.
Kind of kill a little bit of the thoughts that you have, even though you're giving your money to another entity or somebody else investing, you still control the narrative. So hopefully you'll have that feeling throughout this course that you are in control of your investment. Yes, you're putting it into company stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whatever the case may be, but there's still a level of control that you have. And, you know, investing is something that you want to, like John was saying, to make it personal. So, you know, the first thing you have to ask yourself to kind of change that mindset is to find out what your risk tolerance is. You know, how risky a person are you? And then once you figure out your level of risk, it'll be that much easier to find out the best investments that are for you. And even when it's investments, like one thing I always like to tell people is like, you know, don't go into this like thinking an investment means you're going to double or triple your money. To me, investment means slow, steady growth. And once you kind of have that mindset, then that fear will start to go away.
Yeah. And I would say one thing as well that a lot of investors will look for when they just try to decide, hey, will I make an investment in this company, that company, is, you know, do I trust the management of that company? Do I think that they are high quality people? Do they align their mission of the company with what my values are? And in that way, you can have a little more comfort over, okay, like I'm trusting these people that I've never met, but I know from, you know, my research that I've done into them, from the way that the company behaves, that, you know, they make decisions that are aligned with my values. And then hopefully that begins to give you some comfort. And then a lot of times, you know, if you're investing in the ETF, which we'll talk about later, but it's a basket of a ton of companies, then at least you're not reliant on any specific company and their management doing the right thing. It's more just 500 different companies or 1,000 different companies or 2,000 different companies. So there's less of a trust aspect in one specific person or entity or anything like that. So hopefully, you know, we can help you, you know, find out whether, you know, those sorts of investments are within your risk tolerance as we go. But that was a good answer.
John, I also wanted to highlight another answer in the chat we have from Rosanna Cruz, who said, when you buy something of value to make more money.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer as well. It's definitely, you know, you make an investment not because you're spending the money, right? Like you're putting money into the company and hoping that over time it's going to make you more money based on the income that that company is generating. I would say it's like any, like, say, you know, a college degree. If you decide you're going to spend $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 on a college degree or a vocational school or anything like that, you would expect afterwards, you know, instead of making X amount of money, I'm going to make X amount of money plus, you know, the value of that degree. So it's really that investment that you're hoping to make a larger return on. So in terms of back. Sorry, guys. Okay. So I guess to move on into what is investing. So it's pretty much exactly as Rosanna said. It's allocating money with the goal of generating an income or profit, right? So when you go out and you buy a share of, say, Tesla right now, Tesla is at like $225 a share. When you spend that money to put money into Tesla, it's not like you're going out and buying a $200 pair of shoes or something like that. It's not like you're spending the money. You're basically putting it into the company, hoping that over time, the value of your ownership in the company increases. And that can increase because the company is generating profit itself. Or because, you know, the expectations for the future growth of the company are increasing. And so you can invest in anything, you know, from a business, you know, starting a business, if you choose to, you know, that's really on the high end of the risk tolerance scale, to assets, whether it be purchasing real estate, stocks, bonds, crypto, et cetera. And so each of these have their own risk return profile, and each of them, you know, have different characteristics around them. And so when you think about real estate, you know, it takes a lot of capital up front. It takes a lot of management on the back end because you have to make sure the property is kept up. You have to find tenants. You have to make sure they're taking good care of the property. But it does provide consistent, steady cash flows that you know will continue for some point in the future. Whereas stocks represent ownership in a company, but over time, you would expect either that company to pay you back in dividends or the value of that stock to continue to increase. And so it's a little bit more liquid to buy and sell or it's easier to buy and sell that share. So it's a bit, in some ways, less risky, in some ways, more risky than real estate. Bonds tend to be very similar to real estate in that they pay you a consistent amount of money, and they tend to be a little bit less risky. And crypto tends to be a little bit more risky because you're really investing in a technology and an alternative financial system in a way. So I guess, why should I invest? There are two ways of really earning money. And the first is earning that income, right? Like we all go to work, we all have a job. Whether it be for yourself, if you own your own business, or for someone else. And so that's a great way to earn an initial income. But I think most people find that over time, like you want to have something more outside of that, whether it be a side hustle or, you know, finding ways to make your money work for you. And so that's really what investing is. It's really ensuring that your assets can increase in value over time because you're making them go to work for you while you're just, you know, at work, at the beach, at the barber, wherever you may be. So that's really it, is it's ensuring that your money is working and growing for you while you're doing whatever else you want to be doing. And so when is the right time to invest? So that's really dependent on your personal goals and objectives, like Sean was saying before, and like we've been saying the whole time, as well as your current financial situation, right? And so the first question you want to ask is, you know, do you have enough savings? So A1, I've heard like one good way to test that is, do you have like 2 to 3 months of savings just in case an emergency pops up? And so that's really a good gauge to say like, okay, I have this little cushion just in case a rainy day comes along. And then, you know, at that point you can say, okay, I'm going to start investing. I'm going to start putting a little bit more into the market. You could say, how much are you putting into your retirement account? I see that as a form of investing, right? Your retirement account typically will be invested in stocks, bonds, ETFs, the whole bit. But you want to make sure that once you have that savings knocked out, that you're investing in your retirement account. If the company offers a match, that you know that you're getting all of the money that you can from that match. And so that's another question that you have to think about when you're thinking about investments outside of that retirement account. Another thing to think about that's important is, how long can you invest your money for, right? Because like I was saying on the last slide, real estate, if you put your money into buying an apartment or a house or what have you, that's going to be locked up in that apartment, house, whatever it may be, for a very long time, right? At least 10, 12, 15, 20 years. And so you need to make sure that your investments are matched with, you know, how long you're willing to have that money invested for. And so that's sort of where stocks and bonds are a little bit more convenient, or at least, yeah, stocks and bonds, because you can have that liquidity of, I'm going to buy this on the open market and I could sell it tomorrow if I really need to. But hopefully, you know, as we'll continue to talk about, hopefully you're thinking about a longer term horizon, because that'll really enable that money to grow for you. Another question is, you know, do you have debt that you need to pay off? A lot of us have student loans, a lot of us have credit card debt, other things that we may need to pay off. And so, you know, there are many ways of thinking about this. You could think about, you know, how does your return on investment compare to the interest rate on your debt? So if you have an interest rate on your debt of 3%, but you know, if you invest in an S&P index fund over the last 80 years, that's made an average return of 8%. You might want to make sure that you're paying down the debt, but also, you know, make sure you're investing extra money rather than throwing all that extra money on your debt. That being said, other schools of thought would say, you know, get the debt paid down as soon as possible. That way, you know, you have that freedom to go out and then take that money and invest. And then, so this is a little bit less.
I just want to add real quick, you know, I guess, you know, some of you guys may even have, just to step back a little, the why, like, why should I invest? And basically, you know, for me and my journey, and for most people that have achieved some sort of wealth in their life, you have to get to the point where your money is working for you. You have to get to that mindset versus, rather than, you know, you got to go into work to get your paycheck, but you got to be a point in life where you got to make that hard decision to say, I'm going to really make an aggressive effort to allow my money to work for me so that I can grow at an exponential number. So this is like, you know, just to, you know, as we go through this, like, the why is making your money work for you. And everybody has to get there, especially if you're thinking about generational wealth, providing for the next generation. You have to get to the mindset of, how do I make my money work for me? And basically earning revenue when you're sleeping.
And I say something that, you know, I hear you guys talking and it all sounds good, but it's just words to me. I invested back when Bernard Madoff did his whole thing and I lost thousands of dollars. And so you said you have to have at least 3 months of savings. I don't know about any other working person, but that adds a single divorced parent. That's not my reality. And so do you have to have 3 months of savings on the side to
invest? Let me ask you a question, just high level. Don't get into specifics because we're on a, but what is your reality then? As far as like, what are you willing to say? What are you willing? How much can you put aside? How does it work? Like, you don't have to give me a hard number. Just if you can give me like a high level of what your reality is, and then we could back into that. Okay, this could be your course of action to get you where you need to get to.
At this point, I don't even know. I would say to invest maybe $500. That's the least. But
monthly, biweekly. Daily, what's that?
Monthly. There's no monthly. Way I could do that daily. But I'm
so
just
monthly
saying,
is $125 a week, right? Which is very doable. Which is a great number to start off with, and you know, then we can talk about the different vehicles that you can put it in that won't be as risky. Like you can manage the risk. You know, like for example, a certificate of deposit is a guaranteed rate of return, so you're never going to lose on it. It's backed by the U.S. government. You know, then there's bonds that are just very low risk. There's instruments that are very low risk. And that's what I said at the beginning. You know, investing is a long-term thing. It's slow, steady growth. Most people hit big losses because they're trying to swing and hit the fences. But if you just try to get slow, continued growth, and I always say a benchmark is like beating the rate of inflation. So, you know, if you can always outdo inflation, that's what I tell my broker. I'm like, I just want to beat the rate of inflation. Then you're moving in the right direction.
And it's also for me, you know, I hear what you guys are saying, and it's gaining trust. How do I trust after I've lost so much and to jump back in the investment pool? Because investing is something that was not taught to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe you're overexposed, and the person that was advising you was putting you in a situation that your exposure was too high and wasn't telling you the downside. Like anything I do, if I invest in anything, if I invest in a business, I invest in a stock, I'm always worrying about what the downside is. And even a golden rule is, don't invest what you're not willing to lose. But there are instruments out there, and which John's going to go through with you, that manage that risk. So you can feel comfortable jumping back in. And I understand your dilemma. My mother, you know, was similar to your mindset, but you have to get past it and understand, like, okay, I have to regroup. And now let me just find out where I went wrong or what was taught to me that I didn't like, and just understand your risk tolerance. And there are so many instruments we can get slow, steady growth and get back comfortable investing again. But not investing is not the right answer.
The end goal of investing is to create generational wealth for
Correct.
Yeah. And so I would say like that 3 months rule, that's really, you know, part of assessing your own risk tolerance, right? That's how you have to think about, you know, what am I comfortable with investing? How much am I comfortable having in savings? And like that's just a guideline, but not a strict and fast rule. And I know that's not a lot of people's realities. And I would say, you know, beyond that, thinking about like Bernie Madoff, while I would say that's very unfortunate, like he wasn't truly investing that money in the end. So I would say if you're thinking about investing your money, you could think about doing it in a way that is a little more under your control. And that's hopefully the skills that we'll give you throughout this course so that you don't have to trust in, say, you know, an investment advisor or someone like that, where there's a middleman who's controlling the money for you. You can really control it yourself. I think we also have a question from Patricia. So from the company's perspective, why is it beneficial to get investors if they are already up, running, and profitable? Does it mostly help them expand their operations? And so that's really the answer to that question, right? So if I'm Apple and I want to, you know, put out the Vision Pro, that new weird ski goggle mask that I'm sure a lot of you guys saw that they released yesterday, they're going to need money in order to make sure that they can go out, build that product, and then release it to the masses. And so what stock helps them do is it helps them fund that project future. And then that's what helps, or that's what makes the value of your stock and your investment go up. And so isn't it also true that you go in for the long haul? Absolutely. I would say, you know, you have to match it to your own investing goals and what you're saving for in that moment, what you might be investing towards in that moment. So I would say for some people, it might be that you want to invest for retirement or to create generational wealth, then that's going to be a longer term investment where you want to just put it in, forget about it, and just let it grow and grow and grow. Whereas, you know, if you're investing for something short term, like an engagement ring or a trip or something like that, then you may want to, you know, invest in something not very volatile that might just pay you a few points of interest. So like 1% or 2%. And then that, you know, will give you that ability to, in the short term, when you need to take that out to pay for the trip or whatever, you can just easily take that money out. It's safe and you put it to work. So I hope that answers that question.
And y'all, for sake of time, please continue to drop your questions in the chat, and we will allocate some time towards the end of the session to answer them. But I'm loving the questions in the chat. Y'all are bringing the heat. This is exactly what we wanted to see.
I also wanted to, sorry to cut you off, I want to introduce also another member. I know he's on as well. His name is Jeff Whaley. We call him AKA Mr. 850. He's also a part of our program. The question I was to ask everybody is, why do we call him Mr. 850? Can anybody answer?
Credit score, 850.
His credits, exactly. His credit score. So I'm not sure, Jeff, if you want to give a little quick introduction, and then we can go back to the regular programming.
Mr. 850, you're on the spotlight, sir. Please go ahead and take the wheel. You're on mute, Mr. 850. Should be the small microphone, Mr. 850.
Yeah, you're on mute, Jeff.
I said it, Mr.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So, Mr. 850 is having a bit of a technical issue right now. Was that Nigel that I heard that unmuted himself?
Yeah, I was just saying that, Mr. 850, if you can, then you can drop your intro in the chat. And then if you can, afterwards, we'll see if we can give you a chance to introduce yourself.
Nigel, we've also got the chance to work with Mr. 850 pretty closely. I went ahead and spotlighted you. Could you also tell them just a little bit about who he is and the role he plays?
Yeah, so definitely. So Mr. 850 has been working with our team alongside, like Ray said earlier, the transfer schools for the last going on 3 years, and just working with our participants, giving them some insight in regards to some of his experience as early as the exact date I'm forgetting. But I believe if not 30 plus years ago, when he was working as a MTA bus driver, he made the decision to transfer over to, you know, thinking a little bit more financially in a financial sense about his future, and setting down and setting up investments in regards to real estate. And then, of course, other means. So definitely don't want to say and can't speak on behalf of Mr. 850 too much, but definitely wanted to give you a brief introduction in regards to some of the work that we've done with him.
Thank you for that, Nigel. It's also really important for us to highlight stories like you know, Sean and Mr. 850 that we know very well, because these are folks that were coming from working class environments, you know, like ourselves. Sean coming from an immigrant household who, you know, he then broke into finance. And Mr. 850 was working for the MTA when he really started his financial empowerment journey, now owns multiple properties and has a perfect credit score. But that's who we got in the room today. I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to John.
Awesome.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And so, you know, thinking about investing versus saving, which is something we've been talking about a little bit. So when you're thinking about saving, right, you're thinking about putting your money into a savings account that's going to be held at a bank, and that's going to be earning you some level of interest, right? Right now, it's actually pretty good. You can get a savings account that's paying you like 4%, 5%. And so the goal typically that you would have a saving account for is paying for a planned expense or an emergency. So that's like if you are planning that trip and you want to make sure you have enough money to go away for a few days, that's something you would put in that savings account. Or, you know, just in case that rainy day comes, it's that emergency fund for you. So in terms of the risk, it's very, very low. All accounts are insured up to $250,000 by the FDIC. So, you know, even if that bank were to ever go under, that money is insured and you would get all of that back. The returns are, because of that low risk, typically pretty low return. You know, 4%, 5%. A couple of years ago, it would have been 1%, 2%. And the accessibility or the ease for you to access those funds is pretty high, right? You know, you go to your bank, you can take out that money whenever you want. Whereas investing, say it's like purchasing a share of money in stocks. So the goal is really to make those financial returns on that initial investment. So if you put $100 into Amazon, you're hoping that in 5 years, that $100 is worth $200, that in 10 years it's worth $300, in 20 years it's worth $500, $1,000. And, you know, that's really the growth that you're expecting to see off that initial $100. The risk, it really depends. It's not insured by the FDIC insofar that, you know, if you invest in a stock and the value goes down, the government's not going to pay you to get that money back. But if you put your money in like TD Ameritrade or Robinhood, and then that company goes bankrupt, there is insurance that actually prevents you from losing money in that case, up to, again, $250 in cash and $500 in stocks and bonds. So the risk, you know, when you're investing, it really depends what you're investing in. And that's what we're going to talk about on some of the following slides. But again, like something like a bond, a U.S. government bond, right? The U.S. government has never defaulted on its debt ever. That might be a little bit lower risk because you're 99.999% sure that you're going to get all your money back. But because you're 99% sure that you're going to get your money back, there's a little bit less of a return. On the other end of things, if you're investing in, say, like crypto or a brand new startup, you know, you don't know how much money that's going to be worth in a few years because you're investing in something that's so new, that doesn't have a lot of cash that it's generating, doesn't have a lot of income, that, you know, it could go and be worth 10 times what it's worth in a short amount of time, or it could be worth zero. And so that that uncertainty, that volatility, that risk is what depends in investments. And so risk is sort of tied to returns in a way, right? As your risk goes up, your returns tend to go up, or your potential for returns tends to go up. Whereas, you know, lower risk tends to be a little bit lower returns. And then the accessibility with investing, it's low to medium, depending on what type. And so as you see in that chart that's over to the right, over time, investing can create a little bit more wealth than purely saving, right? Because if you're putting $150 a month into saving, it's going to have that straight line slope with maybe a little bit of interest paid on top of it, right? And that's the black triangle that's underneath. But as you see with investing, if you're putting in, you know, 50, 100, 150, 250 a month, whatever you can, then over time, you're not only getting the value of that money that you're putting in, but you're also getting that return on top of it, whether it be, you know, if you are very aggressive, only pursue high growth stocks, it may fluctuate a lot year to year, but maybe you'll get a 10% return. If you do an S&P index fund, which we'll talk about later, maybe you get an 8% return. But that exponential growth really comes from those returns compounding over time. And so using that rule of 72, it's just a quick trick that we like to teach everyone for the amount of time that it takes to double your money. So if you take 72 divided by the amount that you would expect to earn on investment, so say 8% you expect to get, because that's a typical S&P 500 rate, that means that it would take 9 years for your money to double, based on like 72 divided by 8 equals 9. And so that's pretty good, right? That would mean if you put $100 in today to the S&P 500, in 9 years, you should have 200. And so that's sort of the power of investing unlocked in a way, is just seeing those returns compound and grow over time. And so thinking about investment goals, right? Like we've been talking about, you know, your investments really have to be aligned with what your goals are. And so before you invest, you have to really think about, you know, what am I investing for? If it's short term, is it that vacation, the emergency fund, credit card, an engagement ring, a home down payment? If it's medium term, you know, is it an emergency, or is it like paying down more money on your home? Is it going back to college? Is it paying off your student loans? You know, is it your actual wedding? Whereas if it's long term, you know, is it that generational wealth? Is it being able to retire, paying for your child's education, paying off your mortgage, your student loans, whatever it may be? You have to think about what your goal is there and then align your investments with that. So if it's that short term goal, then you want to be able to get that money out quickly, right? So you want to have ease of accessing that money. So that would go up. Your risk in that case, you would want to invest in much less risky investments. And because of that, your potential for returns would be a little bit lower. Whereas, right, if you want to have a medium-term investment, you would want, you know, I want to be able to get my money out, but it doesn't have to be immediate. It can be over a small stretch of time. And so, you know, in that case, that becomes a little bit less important. You can take, you know, maybe a little bit more risk. And because of that, your potential returns will be higher. Whereas long term, you know, it's okay if you don't need, or if you can't get to that money immediately. So the importance of that ease of accessing money goes down. Your risk tolerance can go up if you need to, or if you're thinking longer term, you could also invest in a lower risk fund and expect for that to make you solid returns over that time. And, you know, when you're thinking about each of these time horizons, long term, you're going to make the highest amount of return, even with a lower risk investment, because you're leaving it in for that long period of time. Whereas, you know, short and medium term is very, very atypical for, you know, a short-term investment to ever make a ton of money, or a medium-term investment to ever make a ton of money, because usually that would mean you're taking a lot of risk. And that's not typically what we want to do if we're saving for, you know, a vacation or a home down payment or something like that. And the biggest thing is always that little asterisk at the bottom, returns are not guaranteed. That's why we have to be thoughtful in our investments. That's why we have to think about, you know, investing in diversified funds, like ETFs that are, instead of just one company, 500 companies, 1,000 companies, because that helps to ensure a little bit more that, you know, while these good returns aren't guaranteed, we're not over-invested into just one thing. We're not putting all our eggs in one basket. And so who are some successful investors? I don't think we'll spend too much time on this slide, but there are a ton of great investors that if you want to get a little bit more into, you know, learning about how to invest, learning about how other people came to make their decision to become investors or what their investment philosophy is. I think most of these guys have some books out there. They're a great supplemental resource to, you know, really dive deeper and learn more about investing. And so types of investments, right? So investments can be split into a couple different categories. And we've talked about most of these already, right? So you have your bank products. And so those are your CDs, your savings accounts, also your checking account doesn't typically pay much in terms of interest. So I wouldn't necessarily call it an investment in the same way as a CD or a savings account, but it is a bank product and something else you can take a look at. In terms of like debt or credit, these are typically, you know, your bonds. So whether that be your treasury bonds that are issued by the government, these are pretty low risk because, again, the government has never defaulted on its loans ever in the history of the United States. So that's, you know, one thing that's a little bit lower risk. Municipal debt, that could be like New York City's debt or New York State's debt. And it's very similar in a way to that federal debt. And then corporate debt, which is issued by companies, that's one where you have to think about, you know, is the company that is issuing this debt able to pay for it? Is there any chance that they could default? And so, you know, that tends to get a little bit more risky than your treasuries and municipal debt. And so the thing about treasuries or any type of debt security is that, you know, it pays you a consistent cash flow. So every 6 months with treasuries, you'll get a certain amount of money paid to you in a coupon. And so that, you know, consistent cash flow over time lets you know that you're going to have some income through your investment. Similar things with corporate debt and municipal debt. And so that's like one way that it makes you money in the end. So with stocks and equity, these tend to be a little bit more risky, right? Because if you think about debt, say like in a house, right? You have your mortgage in a house. When if someone defaults on their mortgage and ends up being foreclosed, the person that holds the debt ends up owning the house, right? And whereas the equity, which is like that amount above the debt, if the person who owns the equity defaults, then they don't have any claim on that house anymore. It's not theirs. So that's sort of like why equity is a little bit more risky than debt, because debt has priority over equity. And so equity really refers to your stocks, those ETFs, and then the equity portion of real estate. And so stocks, again, it could be like an individual company. And whereas ETFs could be invested in anything from gold to, you know, the S&P 500. There are certain ETFs that just try to give you dividends. And so those are some different ways in which, you know, equity operates. And then so Web3, we still have at the bottom there. And so that's really your cryptocurrencies and your NFTs. And so those are really, really high value or high risk, sorry, high risk investments. Because, you know, when you think about a stock or equity, you are thinking about a company that's making money, that's making a product, that is generating cash. Whereas with cryptocurrency, while there is a technology behind it and sort of an alternative financial system, it isn't necessarily generating money. And so to be able to assess the value of it and have certainty that you're going to make some money is very difficult. And so you can see we have that chart on the left side. As you go down the page, things get more and more risky. And so that's how you have to think about your risk tolerance, right? If you are low risk, you might just want to keep your money in savings account. If you're high risk, you may think, okay, cryptocurrency, stocks, ETFs, that's where I want to be. Now I see the questions, but I'll leave them until the end. And so I just want to briefly touch on, so starting next week, we're going to start playing a stock game. So we do this with all of our classes that take the investing deep dive. And basically over between weeks 2 and 4 of the deep dive, we will be playing this game. So until next week when we start and ask you guys to set up your accounts, we want you guys to just familiarize yourselves with the stocks, ETFs, like the investments that we have on this page and the next page. Don't have to do a ton of research. Don't have to go crazy about it at all, but just start to maybe think in the back of your head, you know, which companies do I like? You know, do I purchase from these specific companies all the time? You know, what do I want to be invested in for the duration of this game, right? Because for me, when I was younger, what I always tell some of the classes is that when I started investing in things I knew, right? And so I was, you know, younger, I was playing a lot of video games. So at the time, I invested in GameStop because I knew that, you know, I knew that the Xbox One was coming out. And I thought that because of that, they would have a lot of sales. And so, you know, in the short term, that was a good investment. In the long term, you think about more people are just buying games directly on their computers or what have you. And so that means, you know, long term, GameStop tended to go down. But when you're thinking about a company already, because it's part of your daily life, that's a good way to have an idea of, okay, I think I would like to invest in this company. If you go to Starbucks every day to get your coffee and you have a good understanding of what's going on, you see the stores a little bit more busy, maybe that helps you think about investing in Starbucks. So just think a little bit about, you know, what you want to invest. We have stocks and ETFs on this page. And then on this page, we have some bonds, real estate, and crypto. So just think about over, you know, the next week, what you might want to take a look at. And so we also have this chart just to show over the last year, you know, what a few stocks have done. And so it's been, you know, a rocky year in the stock market, right? There has been some uncertainty, there's been inflation. And because of that, you know, even besides that, you know, you see Apple is still about 15 to 20% above where it was last year this time. Meta, Facebook is about 40% above where it was last time this year. The S&P 500, which is an ETF, which you can see based on how tight the movement is relative to the other ones, it's less volatile. And even that is still a few percent above, if you see the little tick up at the end. Whereas Tesla hasn't had a great year. And so that sort of illustrates both, you know, how you can make returns from investing, even when there's some uncertainty about recession and you know, the economic environment. Also how ETFs can be a little bit less volatile. As you see, it's not moving as much, but then also, you know, investments can be risky. Tesla, if you had invested exactly a year ago or a year and a few days ago, you would be down a little bit. And I think, you know, over the long run, if you'd invested in Tesla 10 years ago, you would have many, 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 many multiples of your money. But over a short term, it's very easy to see fluctuations. So I guess that's some of what we want to illustrate there. And I guess with that, I can take some questions. So I'd seen Nigel noted that as recent as this week, they bumped the debt ceiling up. And yeah, that is something that is broadly important for investing, because the U.S. debt, the U.S. Treasury really underpins the global financial system. And so if the U.S. were to not repay its debt, our cost of borrowing as a country would go up, which means that most of the companies within the country would have a higher cost of borrowing. We might have to pay more in taxes to cover that. And overall, it would be bad for growth. So I would say the debt ceiling being raised is definitely good in terms of investing. In terms of investing in debt, it's also good because it means that, you know, if you're invested in U.S. treasuries, then that interest is going to be paid, and that'll continue to be a good investment. So can you invest on your own, or do you need a middleman? Any thoughts on Acorn? So you can entirely invest on your own. That's going to be what we talk about in class four. And so there are a number of apps that you can download, whether it be Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab. And so you can use all of those to, you know, invest on your phone, invest through a website on your computer. You know, even if you bank with Chase or Citi, you typically can have an investment account through them that's connected to your bank account. And so you can make all of those decisions on your own if you like, or, you know, use an app that has a robo advisor, things like that. But we'll get more into what the different advantages, disadvantages of each of those are as we go through the next few classes. So ETFs are the ones where your investment goes to many different companies. Yep, Patricia, that's exactly right. So say like the S&P 500 ETF, which is called SPY SPY, that invests in the top 500 companies basically in the United States stock market. And so rather than you saying, okay, I want to invest in Tesla, I'm investing in Tesla and Apple and, you know, Nvidia and Microsoft and almost every company that you can think of. And so because of that, it's a lot less risky. And you don't have to think so much about your decision as to like, do you want to, as to like thinking about a specific company, right? It's really more dependent on the growth of all of those companies. And if one of them, you know, runs into some trouble, it doesn't really affect your investment as much. Do I have any opinions on CDs with your bank versus those other options? So it's really dependent on your risk tolerance, right? So, you know, if you are okay with your money being locked up for a year, 2 years, 5 years in a CD, for, you know, the a bit lower return, say it's like a 4%, 5% return, then I think if that fits your investment objectives, and if you want to be a little bit lower risk because you want your initial investment to be protected, then I would say that's a great option. If you think that, hey, 4%, 5% a year over the next 5 years, that's not enough for me, maybe then, you know, an S&P 500 ETF or something like that is a little bit of a better investment. But it's really up to you, your personal risk tolerance, and what you see as your own goals.
Hey, John, I want to jump in here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Okay, 50.
Finally, sorry about the technical difficulty. I want to thank, you know, Sean, Ramon, Nigel, and you, John, and, you know, the, you know, all of you guys who joined in on this today, because this is great information. And everything that you're getting, the sooner you start, the better off you will be. You don't have to worry about trying to hit a home run. Like Sean always says, you try to get a single, a double in terms of your return. And as you learn, you'll grow with confidence. And if you make mistakes and get with shady people, you stop dealing with shady people. You deal with companies that have a track record, a Vanguard, Charles Schwab, or just a two, to name a few. There are other companies that are out there that have good, long, consistent track records of being trustworthy. Secondly, I want to just thank everyone, because without this information, you have a higher chance of not really having much when you retire. And I was a blue collar worker most of my life, working with transit for 27 years. And everything they're saying, I did. And I made a lot of mistakes as well. So when he tells you some things in terms of trying to keep it consistent based on your risk factor, keep your risk lower. This way you'll know you have that pot of gold at the end when you're ready to retire. So I'll let you continue, John.
No, absolutely. I think that's perfect advice. It's really about the singles, the doubles. It's about having those consistent base hits rather than always swinging for the home run, because the base hits, the doubles, the singles, those are going to be those medium risk tolerance, medium reward plays that over time are going to really build up and create that wealth for you and give you those long-term financial freedom and those goals that you are looking for. So I think Patricia also asked if there's a source that you can use to research whether all companies in an ETF.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.